purpose is to love and be loved. And maybe we're going about the business of love, 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 and not allowing God to love us. So again, thank you, Claire. I forgot something, and I'm going to interject it here. There are notebooks that you received when you arrived. Does anyone need one? Okay, raise your hand high, and Christine is going to hand them out. Because when I said write it down, we're going to give you paper to write it down, and there's also other important prayer material and items in there in addition to the book. Come on up, Karen. Our first talk is called Strive to Enter My Rest. Karen Hyde is going to present. Let's pray.
Lord, we realize that all is for nothing if it's not done in your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
We ask you to open our ears and penetrate our hearts as Karen speaks, knowing that truly this is your work, not Karen's work.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that her words are your words. Amen.
Thanks for the love. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that in my weakness you're strong.
Like here. Okay. Right. A few years ago, the council had a prophetic insight that we're coming through the wilderness experience into the promised land, a land of rest, the shalom peace. And we're not talking about physical rest. I pray you don't try and balance this talk. Let the Holy Spirit do it for you this weekend, that you'd be receiving a new thought about our Savior Jesus Christ. And if you hear his voice today, harden not your heart. First, let's define rest. Can you hear Rosie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Doris. You're the expert.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, yeah. Okay. Good. All right.
Praise the Lord.
Mamma Mia, here we go again. All right. It's fine.
We are going to try one of the
things. Praise the name of Jesus. All right, there we go. Right. Thank you, Doris. All right, first let's define this rest. It's the heavenly blessedness in which God dwells and of which he has promised to make persevering believers in Christ partake. God completed all his works, which were good, and he rested on the seventh day from all he did. God didn't rest because he was tired. God rested because he was finished. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work, and man's work flows out of this rest. God will always bless your rest, always, because he blessed it and set it apart. It's always available because he knows it's essential to our Christian life. Every circumstance you encounter already has rest in the issue, no matter how harsh or difficult. And here's the thing about rest again. And I'm not talking about physical rest. It never boasts, it only relaxes. It's quiet and confident. If you have no rest in you, you'll always be thinking of escape. You'll always be overtaken and vulnerable to the enemy. Lack of rest robs you of your ability to be in God. It robs you of your stamina to fight the good fight. Jesus is always in rest. And so often we allow ourselves to be robbed in our life and circumstances. Women are especially more vulnerable to worry than men. There's no use in praying worried prayers. They have little effect. Jesus said, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." When I'm worry-free, I'm free to see things from God's perspective. The world says, do, 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 and Jesus says, D-O-N-E, done. Worried people think that's how you show people you care. The whole world is built on that wisdom. All children learn how to worry. It's an acquired skill. Our Lord gives us every grace for today, only today. Who takes care of tomorrow? Okay. All right. There are numerous references in the scripture about the consequences of not resting. You're prone to weariness, you're tired in your thinking, it's debilitating. Entering into rest is a gift, abiding is a process. You have to partner with the Holy Spirit. I used to imagine the worst, and now I imagine the best. My first response after hearing bad news, which is all the time, is I wonder how the Lord will bring good out of this circumstance. That's what he's about. A sister, and I checked, she's not here this weekend, she said to me, "I'm afraid of what the Lord is doing next." And another said, "If it's not hard, it's not from God." I don't imagine very much grieves our Heavenly Father, but this certainly might. I'm going to be thinking a new way of life instead of the old way, which is killing me. He wants a joyful vulnerability from us. What we're learning to do, all right, rest teaches us our place in Christ. It's all been given to us, and what we're learning to do is abide in all the circumstances God has for us. Rest is a weapon, a sword in your hand, so you can hear the voice of God, because he says, "My sheep know my voice." You never have to train a baby to hear its mother's voice. No, they just do. The more I rest, the more I hear his voice, his promptings. It becomes more sharper, more poignant. Rest is not just doing nothing. Rest is Holy Spirit-directed activity. You don't have to look outside for direction. Jesus said, "I will dwell with them and walk with them." In Isaiah 30:15, it says, "In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." He's talking about being still. You know, Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know I am God." When the Hebrew word for being still is rapha, and it means relax. So whenever I see "be still" in any of the scriptures, it's relax. I got your back. You know, when Jesus was sleeping in the boat, the disciples were out of their minds with fear and worry because of the storm. And they were talking, "Shall we wake him?" They were so afraid. And of course, Jesus was moved and he got up and he said, "Shalom," which means all is well. And he said, "Be still," which is rapha. So he says, perfect peace and relax. And the water became like glass. It was perfect peace. I remember parts of my life when my kids were little, and probably most of it I blanked out. my stress level being 0 to 10, 10 being the highest. You know, it's go, 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 but it's even more than that. I think this is how I spent the day. Ah, woo, ah. You know what I'm saying? That's how I spent the day. The dinner table was almost like Niagara Falls every night. You know what I'm saying? And it seems like there was an emergency every minute. And I finally sit down and relax in my chair, and I see a big, ugly spider. And at the moment, I don't realize it's my son's spider. So my stress level goes up. I scream. Okay, and then I relax. Do you think my stress goes down to 0? No, probably 6. It probably is 6. I spent most of my time when I was relaxed, 6 or 7. And then I get in my car and drive somewhere, which I hate, you know, and I think I drove all over the state watching my kids play sports. I probably was always in stress. And here's a little sidebar. Do you know that cheetahs and tigers have enlarged adrenal glands, and that's why they only live a couple of years in the wild, where turtles and camels live very long lives. Relax. We'll get there. Relax. Okay. Let's bring stress down to quietness and confidence. Faith is rest. The enemy is restless. When I'm in God's rest, he cannot enter. Now I have to tell you my pipe story. In the story of Zechariah, there's a story of an olive tree, and it has golden oil flowing through pipes. Here's these golden oils in these pipes. And I asked Jim, what does that mean? And he says it's a picture of the anointing grace flowing from heaven. And he says there's streams of grace and mercy and blessing flowing constantly in every area of our lives. It's grace for our marriages, relationships, children, ministry, health, finances, etc. And so I can picture these pipes all around me. And the devil has tested me over the years, and he knows my weaknesses. And after 59 years, most of the time, I don't worry about finances or health. The thing that keeps me up at night is children. Mostly my own, but sometimes it's your children. And I do the what ifs all night, because the evil one always wants me bad, mad, and afraid. And yet I know the Lord loves my kids a million times more than I love them. And I was very vulnerable to this kind of attack. So when I'm anxious about my kids, the Lord showed me how I'm squeezing the pipes. No grace is flowing now. Here's my pipe. And now nothing's flowing, and I'm really squeezing, and now I'm panicking. And I yell, Jesus! No grace is flowing now. The more I squeeze, the worse it gets. And last month, my son moved to Jake. My son, Jake, moved to Dallas. And he overheard this whole conversation I had with Jim about the pipes. And so when he moved to Dallas, I said, now, Jake, 23 people died of the West Nile virus in Dallas. And, you know, hundreds hospitalized. Don't forget to put your bug spray on. And don't go out at night. And he said, Mom, stop squeezing your pipes. So I know he's always going to bring that up. So I realized once again, here I am acting like a beggar because no one told me I'm a princess. I'm acting like a widow when I'm a bride. Once again, a victim of stress. And stress doesn't just mean being anxious. It could mean a new baby, a new job, a financial downturn, sickness, our busy lives. Is that my phone? Oh, my God. Maybe it's Jesus calling me. I better get it. Relax. Relax. Right now. God allows our dark nights because Jesus loves us so much, and he knows we're lacking in something he wants to give us. There's something he wants to give us in the circumstance, and he wants us to know him in a new way. Maybe you've known him as the bread of life or the son of justice, and he wants you to know him in a new way, for instance, the Prince of Peace. It's like an upgrade in your relationship. In rest, you'll see God's provisions more clearly. Matthew 11 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Our lifelong work is to trust. When you have a lot of worry in your head, you'll get tired. Let Jesus take care of you. Our Lord Jesus' words are powerful, and he defeated the devil by quoting scriptures. "Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." Sometimes I have to quote it 3 times before I even feel peace. I have a friend in the Alleluia community, and I saw her last fall, and we always do the rundown of our families and our concerns, and I was telling her my concern for one of my kids, and she gave me a very vigorous novena to St. Andrew. You start November 30th and say it 15 times till Christmas. And it's a prayer to obtain favors. Now hear me, I am not saying there's anything wrong with novenas, okay? But after 6 months, when I was squeezing one of my pipes again, I asked the Lord, "Why haven't you heard me and blessed me and answered this prayer?" And I heard him very clearly say, "I'm God, I won't be beholden to you." You see, something in my heart was twisted, subconsciously thinking that the Lord owed me. And it was a work of my flesh. It revealed my religiosity, that my good works make me righteous, yes, self-righteous, and my bad works make me unrighteous. No, everything I receive is a gift from him, especially righteousness. I have to stop striving. This unbelief issue means that I don't trust God, that he has good intentions toward me because he's withholding from me or punishing me. When my heart is troubled, it's an indicator that my trouble is bigger than my trust. How can I enter into that rest? 2 Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The evil one wants us bad, mad, and afraid because he knows what you're afraid of, you'll hate. The evil one wants you to fear God so that you'll hate him. Respect and awe for God is born out of love. Ruth 3, and don't you love the book of Ruth? I can read that every day. Ruth says, "Then Naomi, who's a picture of the Holy Spirit, her mother-in-law said to her, 'Shall I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you?'" Who talks like that? We would say, "Shall I not seek that things go well with you so that you can rest?" Isn't the Lord amazing? That's why we pray for each other, that we find rest in the midst of our storms. Hebrews 4 says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." 365 times in the scriptures, our Lord says, "Do not fear," one for every day of the week. He says, "Don't be," every day of the year and the week. He says, "Don't be afraid." He says to be afraid only one time. The only thing to be afraid of is not to enter into that rest. Isn't that remarkable? And yet that's the one thing we're not afraid of. Therefore, we have to strive to enter that rest. Isn't it also remarkable that we've been praying these prayers since the 70s? So my only battle is to fight to enter into that rest. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this gospel that transforms our lives. The truth sets us free. The evil one gives us half-truths to bind us. Jesus says that I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. So come heck or the tsunami, I will be in rest. Are you resting in his goodness, his love for you? And here's another testimony. You know, when you have you go through a test, you get a testimony. It's a victory. In my house growing up, fear prevailed. If I tell you one story, I could tell you 1,000 stories. My grandmother, she was agoraphobic the last 15 years of her life, and she never left her home. And all my life, my dear mom was very fearful also. Here's one story. During thunderstorms, we would have to take out our bobby pins and sit in the hallway away from windows. Right before I married Jim, we all drove to the Grand Canyon, my parents, aunt and uncle, siblings. We even borrowed the LeBeau's Suburban. And there was a lot of panic and turmoil in the car, normal. When we arrived, my aunt was holding onto a tree in the parking lot and would not even look at the canyon. She was so frightened. We stayed at the El Tovar Hotel. She had her drapes drawn and would not even look out the window at the beauty of the Grand Canyon. And yet the man still married me. This is before we got married. So, I know. Some years later, I started being fearful of planes. Taking off, I was the one holding up the plane and keeping it up. And oh dear Lord, if there was turbulence, I'd be praying my worried prayer, sometimes crying. And then I'd look over at the man next to me. He'd be snoring. He's not even helping holding up the plane. And then people would get off the plane looking peaceful. This is how I get off the plane. Thank you, Jesus. That's how I go off the plane. That fear was an enemy to me. My Lord subdued it and healed me, and I learned to speak the truth to myself. I memorized Psalm 23 and Psalm 91. Praying in tongues is a rest. I learned to keep Jesus in my mouth and not to postpone joy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He cares, feeds, and protects me. Do the sheep ever say, I don't know about that field over there. What's the snake population? No! The sheep are loved and cared for. And the shepherd will often give tidbits to the sheep closest to him. I love that the shepherd has incredible responsibility toward me. I'm one of his favorites, and so are you. I love that he loves looking after me. He loves my heart and my mind. He loves everything about me. And the things that aren't so great, he's so committed to changing. Let the shepherd love you. Psalm 58 says, if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and my holy day honorable, if you honor it, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What a blessing. This is so much more than not going to the grocery store on Sunday. When you call the Sabbath a delight, he says, I'll command the harvest. Doors will fly open for you. When we don't stress and look out for number one, I'm the captain of my own ship, the Titanic. No. God wants to look out for you. If you don't believe God commands the blessing, it's no wonder you don't rest. The sheep know they're loved and cared for, and they stay close to the shepherd. He knows where the snakes are. Don't spend valuable energy worrying about tomorrow. Faith is a rest. Lord, I'm tired. You're never tired. Carry me. What was Adam and Eve's job in the garden? It was to tend and guard the finished work of God. What's our job now on earth? It's to tend and guard the finished work of Jesus Christ. Psalm 110 says, well, it's the picture of Jesus resting because he finished his work on the cross. Psalm 110 says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And then he goes on to say, rule in the midst of your enemies. There you see three persons in one God. What are your enemies? Stress, depression, loneliness, anxiety, discouragement, name them. Yahweh is talking to Jesus after conquering sin, sickness, death, hell on the cross. Sit at my right hand, the Father says to Jesus, and the enemies become like an ottoman that Jesus rests his feet on. He conquered every enemy. And one by one, our Father is putting our enemies under the feet of Jesus. When our Father says, I will make, he makes. Sit down and rest. I look at this as if every passing week, he's putting more enemies under Jesus' feet. And I'm part of the body of Christ, his body, so that is what he's doing for me. The final enemy will be physical death. It's so simple that healing comes from being a daughter, from just being a daughter. That healing would come from just being as he is. Rest until I make your enemies your footstool. So what are you going to do? Every passing year, I come one step closer. I'm getting a throne room perspective, looking down on my circumstances with Jesus. Rather than looking up from the midst of my circumstances, squeezing my pipes and yelling, Jesus, I'm not wallowing in my circumstances. Do you remember, this is a couple months ago on the news, on TV, it's the story of the young family that got lost in the cornfield maze. This is just a couple months ago. Anybody see that? Great. Did you? They had a little baby and the sun started to go down and they couldn't find their way out. They had to call 911 to be rescued. You know, when you're caught in a maze, it's difficult to get out. When you have a throne room perspective, you look down on the maze, that is your life, and you see it from Jesus' perspective, and it makes sense to you. Oh, I see what you're doing, Lord. Psalm 23 says, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. How can I eat? I can't eat until my problems are solved. You eat. I'll take care of your enemies. He loves us so much. It's not my job to confront my enemies. It's my job to enter into that rest. God brought us out of Egypt to bring us into our promised land. Rest. That's our promised land. Many of us act like we're still in Egypt, where slaves don't have an option. They cannot rest. That whip comes down. Jesus delivered us by the blood of the Lamb. He took us through the Red Sea. Our hard taskmasters are drowned. How can you fall asleep if your mind is still in Egypt? Your Egyptian taskmasters are dead. Slaves cannot rest, but kings do. Hebrews 3:7-11 says, therefore the Holy Spirit says, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and tried me, for they saw my works for 40 years. They didn't experience God's rest. The Lord says 10 times that they didn't see his works. That generation that refused to see me. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. The land flowing with grace and rest is our inheritance. Do you believe you're healed before the money is in your account, before every problem is solved? Do you believe you could still walk in rest? God has no problems whatsoever. He can afford to wait. He's been around for a long time. He's the I Am. Can you afford to wait? And he says, it's for your sake that you believe and that we should be among a new generation. So when man works, God rests. And when man rests, God works. Our Lord says, rule in the midst of your enemies, not in the absence. Again, praying in tongues is a rest. This is our response. This is our response. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren woman, for you have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge your place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, and lengthen your cords, and your descendants shall inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. The barren woman is a picture of problems. There's no fruit, no health, no money, barren, a picture of the curse. But yet the Lord says to sing. If you don't know God, you would think that's cruel. Start being happy now. How? Why can I be happy? Because Jesus bore all my sorrows on the cross. Enjoy first, seek first, not after you're blessed, then you rejoice. God understands we have a lot of problems. Sing a song. The devil will call you a hypocrite. Hey, it's not over till the barren lady sings. Stop postponing joy and peace. He's preparing a banquet in the midst of our enemies. Eat. Don't tell me you can't eat. When our Father says he will make, he will make. Rest in his goodness, his love for you. Have expectancy, a throne room perspective. You are the lamb sitting on Jesus' shoulders, looking down on your enemies. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. It's not dependent on circumstances. I heard there's going to be a book about the movie The Passion of Christ. It's a book about testimonies of people who were healed just watching this Hollywood movie. Jesus died on the cross and paid for everything. He was flogged, beaten, and nailed to the cross for my sins. We are forgiven according to the riches of his grace. Done. He said it is finished once and for all. He wants you happy, enjoying his love. He really loves you. And knowing this love will cast out every fear. The devil will accuse you and say you're not righteous. If you think your good works make you righteous, then your bad works make you unrighteous. When you fail, are you still righteous in Christ? I didn't gain it by my good or my bad. Righteousness in the New Testament is always a gift. Righteousness is a person, Jesus. The law condemns the best of us, but grace saves the worst of us. I love the sacrament of reconciliation because the priest becomes Jesus for me, and I get to hear him say the words that I'm forgiven. What a God! He knows we need that. Isaiah 54 says, in righteousness you shall be established, you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. No weapon formed against you, you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. If I'm very introspective, it's good to be a little. It becomes a form of self-righteousness. To be overly discouraged is a form of self-righteousness. It's an inordinate self-concern. I'm learning not to be surprised when the flesh acts like the flesh, and focusing on self and taking our eyes off Jesus is a bad habit. And some of you think you're not that way. But if there's a family reunion and someone takes a family photo, who do you look at first? Your mother-in-law? No. You look at you. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, the sistern, and his job is to point you to you. And he's got plenty of help from our loving families and brothers and sisters. 1 John 4 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. As Jesus is, so are we, because we are in him, particularly in terms of his righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit gives us a description of the virtue of our dear Savior. He is loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, good, kind, gentle, faithful, and self-controlled. This is possible for us too, because as he is, so are we in the world. It says as Jesus is, not as Jesus was. If it says as he was, it would have been enough. He walked the world healing, forgiving. He was powerful and beautiful. Where is Jesus right now? He's at the Father's right hand, the center of the universe in heaven, crowned with wisdom and glory, favored by our Father. So are we. The Father wants you to look at Jesus. Everything is being put under his feet. So as his thoughts are, so are yours. The more I look at me, the more depressed and discouraged I become. And true Christian ministry is meant to get us to look at Jesus. Every morning when I wake up, all right, I'm going to, the morning I wake up, before I put on
my makeup, I'll take a little prep for you.
You guys are, you're beautiful, all right. Well, in the morning when I wake up, I thank him. I thank him for the joy, the joyful vulnerability before my toes hit the ground. Because there's something about the joy in the morning. It's joy for today. I find if I don't ask it for it then, I don't get it. I thank our Father that my family's in Jesus, that we're in the secret places of the Most High. I thank him for Psalm 91, that no evil or plague will come against us today. Okay. I thank Jesus for the precious blood of Jesus that protects. I thank you, Lord, that you satisfy us with all good things. All that he is, so am I in the world. And if you're not experiencing this yet, you need to know it's possible. That's your inheritance. This is his will for us. We walk it out, we grab hold of the truth, and we practice it. I have to share one more enemy the Lord, the Father, has put under my feet. A couple of years ago, after my dear mother died, I started noticing I didn't like being in groups. I started getting a social anxiety. At first, it was very subtle, and it really manifested on the women's retreat 2 years ago. My blood pressure skyrocketed, and Marge kicked me out. And sorry, Marge, I'm giving you a shout out. Thank you, Marge. And I thought it was because you're all a handful, which you are. Say to your neighbor, why does she keep talking about you? All right. I was experiencing dread when I was around you all. You're not perfect, but when I think of your individual walks with the Lord, you're all heroes to me. And now I'm very happy to be here with you all. The evil one put thoughts in my head that I'm not worthy. If I pray, it's not good enough. If I read scripture, it's not enough. When I serve, it's never good enough. And I looked in the mirror and saw gory to gory instead of glory to glory, believe me. And I went through an inner healing with Debbie. I want to give her a shout out. Her and Lynn are my personal pipe plumbers, and I want to thank them for that. And now I know that my identity is in Jesus Christ, and I can see glory to glory. And I don't even mind when I see sin in the church. I hate sin, but I don't mind when I see it, or even in community now, because I've come to understand that when sin is exposed, it means the Holy Spirit is cleaning it up, so we don't have to walk on lumpy carpets anymore. You see, when we sweep sin under the carpet and out of sight, that's what we do. The Lord, he likes to have it exposed. So we're being transformed by beholding Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants us to behold Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We become like him. When we see Jesus loving, I become loving. When we're gentle, we're soft. He's gentle, but never indulgent. He doesn't hurt people. He's a man's man, but he's so approachable that a child can come into his arms. He's steel and velvet all in one. And as he is, I have to tell you this one. We're closing here. You know the story of the woman at the well? Do you remember why she draws water in the afternoon? In tradition, we know that women do it in the morning. And all right, she has some problems, 5 exes and a live-in boyfriend, okay. But she was harshly judged, well, maybe not harshly, but she was judged by other women. I'm sure she was gossiped about because of her shady background. And so she avoided people. Jesus was there and asked her for a favor, which is a good way to start. And they were chatting about, you know, what mountain to worship on. And slowly Jesus revealed to her that he's the living water, the spring of everlasting life. And he spoke to her about her husbands without any condemnation. And she was so happy, she left behind her water can and ran to the village. Come see a man, almost like a missionary. in the middle of the crowds. Before, she was self-conscious. And then when she ran back to town, wait a minute, she's no longer self-conscious. She's conscious of Jesus Christ. Her position of self-awareness had her in a prison. Now her position of Christ awareness has set her free. This is a picture of me telling you about Jesus. We don't know how precious we are. Satan is scared of you. The dark is afraid of you. We are a blessing everywhere we go. Teresa of Avila teaches us about the mansions and living supernaturally. And every time we become conscious of Jesus, our heart grows and our capacity to receive blessings grow. When Jesus died, he cried out, "It is finished," his perfect completeness. When the accuser tells me I'm not good enough, worthy enough, holy enough, or Catholic enough, I say, "You're right. Go tell Jesus, because as he is, so am I in the world. He's so wonderful. He's so altogether lovely." The more I gaze on the cross, the glory of Jesus Christ, the more we are being transformed. I know I'm not like Jesus in many areas. If I'm bad-tempered, I behold Jesus, patient, loving, and kind. When I gaze on him, I'm being transformed by his effort, not by mine. If I'm working hard and striving, I'm doing it wrong. Remember, when we work, God rests. When we rest, God works. This is an invitation to live supernaturally. If I'm content in the natural, I'm limited to what I can do by my understanding and my resources. But I want to live supernaturally, led by the Holy Spirit, only limited to what God can do by his understanding and his resources. The Christian life isn't hard, it's impossible. So rest in him and let Jesus live it through you. Are you blessed?
Yes.
You are very blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.